You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
So, the blessing or the curse. And so we're in Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 11, where Suzanne read earlier from the Torah. 11 verses 26 through 28, first few verses of this long parsha, but we're just going to look at those first couple verses, really, these first three verses. Now, just so you know, the Hebrew month of Elul actually begins at sundown this evening, leading up to the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe. And actually not to sundown this evening, sundown tomorrow evening. I wrote down here this evening, but it's actually tomorrow evening it begins. And it's seen in Orthodox Jewish life. You might have to run a few slides ahead to see that. And then we'll go back to the few announcements I wanted to show. But it's the days of all, the Yomim Noraim. And it's seen in Orthodox Jewish life as a window of opportunity for the soul to return to God from whom it has strayed. So it's a period for repair and renewal, leading up to the high holidays, leading up to that time of returning. So it's we're kind of returning. And we can learn from this custom and be praying for our Jewish friends who don't know Messiah, don't know Yeshua, and already be praying for them and planning to invite them or planning to invite them to the high holiday services. We'll be having Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then, of course, celebrating Sukkot here and outside. And it's going to be great, inside and outside. Let's look at the passage, Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28. See, I am setting before you today a blessing, bracha a blessing and a curse. The blessing, habracha, the blessing, habracha, if you listen to, and it's tishmua, tishmu, if you listen to, I like to translate it listen, the Hebrew word shema, to listen, to hearken, to hear, and to heed, it has all that implied, but I like to listen, you know, to obey the commands of Adonai, your God, that I am commanding you today, but the curse, haklala, if you do not listen, lo tishmu, if you do not listen to the commands of Adonai your God, but turn away or turn from the way, I am commanding you today to go after other gods you have not known. So, think about it. Father, we just pray that you would make this meaningful to us, that we would be able to partake, be in that place of choosing the blessing always, and that this would become a reality for each one of us listening and viewing today in Yeshua's name. Blessing or curse, which will it be? One or the other, nothing in between. Choose. Mediocrity is not an option. Heights or depths, all premised upon my listening. 11:27 says, if you listen, Suzanne mentioned it earlier, if you do not listen, listening well is the key. If you're on an airplane, you hear that voice say, in case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on yourself first and then on your child, you know, in case of emergency, because your temptation is to, of course, put it on your child first, but then you're incapacitated and you both could die. You listen well is so important. Proverbs 5:1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my insight. I want to be a great listener to my husband, the Lord, my maker. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved spoke, and he said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. I love this passage. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim 2, verse 8 and 10 through 12. I love that passage, and I do like the New King James translation for that a little better than some of the others. But you know, it's like the Shir HaShirim, the Song of Solomon, sort of like the Holy of Holies. The rabbis talked about it, of the scriptures. You know, the Psalms are an amazing, you know, prayer time we have with the, but the Song of Solomon is almost like the Holy of Holies, even more intimacy we can have with the Lord as we go into that book. Tuning in rather than being distracted. Shema, listen, pay attention to. In the parable of the sower and the seed told by Yeshua, many were distracted. In hearers number 2 and number 3, in 3 of the 4 Gospels, this parable of the sower and the seed, remember it? It's repeated 3 of the 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about it in depth. So it must be important. When 3 out of the 4 Gospels talk about the same parable, repeat the same parable in depth that Yeshua taught, it must be important. And each time after Yeshua finished, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Matthew 13:9. Listener number 2 had no roots. No roots. The sower went forth to sow, and he scattered the seed. And the issue was, would the seed get into the soil? Would it bring forth fruit, or would it be impeded in some way? Would it not ever bring forth fruit? Listener number 3 was choked by thorns, and both turned from the way God commanded, and went after other gods. Deuteronomy 11:28. It's very important to be diligent listeners. The one who hears the word 4 times in these verses of Matthew 13 and Mark 4 and Luke 8. Matthew 13, 4 times, 19, 20, 22, 23, says, the one who hears the word. Each time the person goes with the sower, he goes the sower with the seed. He says, when interprets it, Yeshua said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't, and then he explains what happens, how the first one, it's snatched by the before he can even understand it, it's snatched by the evil one and is gone. The second one, the rocky soil. Remember the rocky soil, 1320, sown on rocky ground. He hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Oh, emotional excitement. Oh, isn't that great? And he has no root in himself. It lasts only a short while. When the trouble or persecution comes, the word immediately he falls away. When you have to really fight for your faith, you know. I'm glad I had to in my early believer. I'm glad I had to struggle for my faith as an early believer. I hope you, don't have to fight for it and don't have to face something, opposition in your faith, you don't find out if it's real. That's when you find out when it's tested, if it's real or it becomes real. But then the third one, sown among thorns, the one who hears the word, worries of this world, seduction of wealth, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But the fourth one is the one we want to be, the one sown on the good soil. This is the one who hears. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, have the semblance, the exterior, the superficial exterior of faith, of religion, and of the Bible, and all this, but don't really have it. They have the terminology. You see it in shows, and you see it in, you know, people. You hear it in words, and it's something that's only skin deep. It's not real, and only God knows. And we can't judge an individual. We have only God knows the heart. But some people, it's just something they jump back to when it's an emergency, you know, and. But it hasn't really, it's not really the real thing. And the fourth one is the real thing. We want to be that person that's really has the genuine faith and is going to heaven, really knows the Lord. Not saying, I hope I get there. I hope it's real. I got to go there because, you know, Jesus is the answer. Boom, boom. You know, no, it's like a genie, No, it's not like that. Now, the one who's sown on the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands. He bears fruit, yielding 100-fold, some 60, some 30 times what is sown. That's the hearer we want to be. Diligent listeners. Miriam, it says in Luke 2:19-51, the mother of Yeshua, Miriam, she treasured the words delivered to her in her heart. by the shepherds and later by Yeshua when he was a young boy. Remember when he stayed, she said, and he said, I must be about my father's business, when he kind of rebuked his mom, you know, when he was, and she treasured these things in her heart. She was a good listener. She said, okay. Yeah. And she said, I get that. And so she was a good listener. She was amazing. She was an amazing young woman. Yeshua said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Another translation, put these words into your ears. Luke 9:44. We don't want to have uncircumcised hearts and ears. Acts 7:51. You uncircumcised of heart and ears, Peter says, always resisting the Holy Spirit. If my ears are and heart are uncircumcised, I'm always saying no to God's leading. I'm saying, no, I can't do that. No. God says something, and I say, no. Good hearing leads to God healing us. Good healing, hearing leads to God healing us. Acts 28:27, for the heart of this people has become dull. Their ears can barely hear, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and they would turn back. Then they would turn back, and I would heal them. It's a promise. But what about, let me ask this, what about bad things happening when doing the right thing? And good things happening when doing the wrong thing? Well, our answer is this. God's promise is ultimate, not always immediate, and usually not immediate. He is talking about fruit, end results. The blessing does not mean the absence of trials or suffering or persecution. Prime example, Joseph, right? Sold as a slave, does everything right. Hey, let me tell you about this dream I had. You know, innocent, great dream. Well, that didn't go over too well with everybody. But his heart was sold into slavery, but becomes the prime minister later, but many years later, I think 13 years later. And you never know how long. The curse also does not mean that one might not prosper for a time, like the psalmist says. Why does the wicked prosper? One example would be Haman. Yes, bad things do happen to good people. I was looking for that book. I had it from years ago, but I couldn't find it somewhere buried in my piles of books. And vice versa. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people, and vice versa. But in the long run, in the end, what God says holds true. So he says, I want your attention. I want you to notice something here. I want to help you. See, it says, my translated, behold. See, re'e, I am setting before you today a blessing, bracha v'kalala, a blessing and a curse. See means see to it. Pay attention. Rabbi Nightingale says, the blessings and curses that Moshe is talking about and that will happen are not an instantaneous occurrence. There is no bolt of lightning every time one transgresses one of God's commands, nor is there a windfall of cash every time one fulfills a mitzvah, a commandment. Life doesn't work that way, not when it comes to mitzvah performance, nor for anything else for that matter. Now, this is true with, as we know, also with health and illness. One of the aspects of God's blessing is in Proverbs 3:2. It says, they will add to you many days and years of life and peace. Izzy visits the doctor for his annual checkup. Izzy, you're in terrific shape for a 60-year-old, the doctor said. You have the body of a 35-year-old. Tell me, how old was your father when he died? Who said my father died? Wow, how old is he? And is he active? Dad's 82, and he skis or surfs three times a week. I guess they lived in California. Amazing. How old was your grandfather when he died? Who said my grandfather died? You're kidding. How old is he? And is he active? Grandpa's 102, still skis and surfs. And he's getting married again. Why on earth would a 102-year-old want to get married again? He says, the doctor says, who said he wanted to? His mother pressured him into it. That's one of my favorites. But on a serious note, there are causes and effects, aren't there? Lung cancer can easily come from smoking cigarettes over a period of many years. My mom died of lung cancer and bone cancer from smoking. I remember growing up, always had cigarettes, smoking cigarettes. Both my parents for a long period. In those days, I mean, everyone did. They didn't even, you know, cigarette, all the commercials made it look so appealing. And listen, type 2 diabetes from obesity and sugar. And I don't know all the details, but unhealthy diet for years. A healthy body comes from exercise and nutritious eating and diet. As someone says, a result of cumulative acts over many days, weeks, months, years, and even decades. In terms of COVID and growing numbers again, due largely to the Delta variant now, they say, and I don't know how many, there's going to be always a variant, another variant, and shortages of beds in hospitals. Vanderbilt Director of Medical Intensive Care Unit, Dr. Tom Rice, said yesterday, 90% of those in his unit haven't been vaccinated, and it's a rare that someone is there that has been. And he says, I don't know how we can handle it. It keeps coming back. I admit I didn't want to think we'd have to go back to masks when I saw Israel going back to them a few weeks ago. I saw it and I said, not us. We're not going to go back to, you know, we don't have to wear masks anymore. That was my reaction personally. I don't like to wear them, but here we are. New restrictions in Israel as of tomorrow, August 8th. Green passes are required showing proof of vaccination for gatherings of over 100 people. Masks worn in all public gatherings. A 50% remote work model for the public sector and all sorts of various levels of travel quarantines. It's a controversial thing. I don't know how you feel about vaccinations. I personally have always been for it. You know, I don't talk about it. And I respect different people that are against it, you know, or have problems with it. I respect your right to your, you know, your feeling on that. I understand their research is different. People have some are health concerns about it, getting it. I'm personally got it, you know, got the vaccine. I had COVID. I have it right now. No, I don't have it right now. No, I had it. I got an infusion. But I personally, you know, but I understand. I know people that I love and respect that said, no, I'm not going to get it, the vaccine. I'm not. I personally said, hey, you know, if I can be safer and make others safer, if it's, you know, but I know people disagree on it. Listen, we love you, respect you, whatever. And we know. Here's what I want to mention. Now, we know that we can do all the right things or neglect to for health in our bodies and still get sick or hit with disaster physically. And that's our opportunity to come to one another's aid when it happens. Never to judge. Never to think or say anything indicting or questioning, but to pray and to rush to the aid of one another. Amen? That is what we believe here. That's what we always want to practice. Always. Always. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Bracha uklala. The blessing, habracha. If you listen, listen. Just be willing to listen. The commands of Adonai, your God, that I'm commanding you today. But the curse, haklala, if you don't listen. Lo tishmu. The commands of Adonai, but turn away. Turn from the way. I'm commanding you today to go after other gods you have not known. Rabbi Sacks, the late Rabbi Sacks, says, the choice I set before you is really quite simple. We, he tells the next generation, are unique. We are a small nation. We have not the numbers, the wealth, nor the sophisticated weaponry of the great empires. We are smaller, even than many of our neighboring nations. As of now, we do not even have a land, but we are different, and that difference defines once and for all who we are and why. God has chosen to make us his stake in history. He set us free from slavery and took us as his own covenantal partner. This is not because of our merits. It's not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of this land, their land, Deuteronomy 9, verse 5. Do not think, says Moses, that we can survive as a nation among nations worshiping what they worship and living as they live. If we do, we will be subject to the universal law that has governed the fate of nations from the dawn of civilizations to today. Nations are born, they grow, they flourish, they become complacent, then corrupt, then divided, then defeated, then they die, to be remembered only in history books and museums. In the case of Israel, small and intensely vulnerable, that fate will happen sooner rather than later. That is what Moses calls the curse. The alternative, he says, is simple. Even though it's demanding, it means, and I'm taking excerpts from him, it means taking God as our sovereign, the object of our worship and our love. If we predicate our existence on something, someone, vastly greater than ourselves, then we will be lifted higher than we could reach by ourselves. But that demands total loyalty to God and his law. That is the only way we will avoid decay, decline, and defeat. Wow. Well said. The choice is ours. Blessing or curse. Good or evil. Faithfulness or faithlessness. You decide, says Moses. Never has freedom been so starkly defined. Not just for an individual, but for a nation as a whole. And this is something new. He says, if you are faithful to God, Moses says, you will prevail over empires. If you are not, nothing else, not military strength or political alliances will help you. If you betray your unique destiny, if you worship the gods of the surrounding nations, then you will become like them. You will suffer the fate of all small nations in an age of superpowers. Don't blame others or chance or ill fortune for your defeat. The choice is yours. The responsibility is yours alone. That was still Rabbi Sacks. Habracha, the blessing. The word in Hebrew, as I explained, mentioned last week, means habracha, power, growth, to spur prosperity, supernatural growth beyond anything human beings can do. In other words, God is behind us, blessing. He backs us. He guides us. Really, if you think about it, blessing is fruitfulness. And lack of blessing is fruitlessness. And again, let me emphasize, not immediate, but ultimate. Not right away necessarily, but eventually. Okay? That's so important. Not exempt from trials and heartaches and suffering, but ultimately triumphing in it. And through it. That's it. Blessing. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. What is this? A tree without fruit is useless. But a tree with fruit is useful. And of course, if it's for eating, if it's food, and you know, then how delicious the fruit. All the peaches you see for sale everywhere. And if you're in Israel, there's all sorts of fruit, different types of fruit, and everywhere you go, corn pretty soon. Psalm 1 verses, first few verses, how blessed are those, this is the David Stern, who's Jewish translation, the complete Jewish Bible translation. How blessed are those who reject the advice of the wicked, don't stand on the way of sinners, or sit where scoffers sit. Their delight is in Adonai's Torah. On his Torah they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams. They bear their fruit in season. Their leaves never wither. Everything they do succeeds. Yeshua said the branch can't produce fruit unless it abides in the vine. Likewise, you can't produce fruit unless you abide in me. Abide in me and my words, and my words abide in you. And ask whatever you wish, and it will be done. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. John 15. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, the Ruach, is what? What's the ultimate fruit? Love. Yeah, love. The end of the commandment is love. 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction, the end of the commandment, the goal is God's love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 1:5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Romans 5:5 is the love of God. That's the fruit. And the other things, joy, peace, patience, kindness, longsuffering, all those things are the result, are a part of really the love of God. Self-control. The curse means to diminish substance, to lessen. Think about it. The curse, God is ignoring us, leaving us to ourselves because we turn from him. Fruitlessness, barren and empty. In Deuteronomy 11:28 there it says, but they turn from the way. If you turn from the way I'm commanding you today and go after other gods you haven't known. It's that appeal of the unknown. It's more exciting, maybe, we think. What are the other gods to us? What do the neighboring nations worship? The world. Well, it's a system of values. An organ, the Greek word, you know, cosmos, an organized army, really, in proud opposition to God and his values. Really, filth, faith, and fortune is an easy way to remember it. Filth, fortune, and fame. I'm sorry, did I say it? Filth, fortune, and fame. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Don't love the world, the cosmos. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the boasting of life, is not of the Father. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He says it's in opposition to your relationship with God, your Father. That wonderful love of the Father, he says, but it's not from the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away. All that's passing away, along with the desire, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Yeshua said, I'm not of the world, and you're not of the world either, John 17. So these are the thorns in the soil that impede the word from bearing the fruit, the worries of the world, the seduction of the wealth and the desires for other things. And, you know, someone says, I need space. And that can be understandable, because we all do. Even Yeshua needed it. Or it can be a move to distance myself from God, a departure from his way. You know, and if I don't want to be around anyone that's close to the Lord, then it's, you know. So, but these are the things that draw us away from God. God says, don't do that. I want to bless you. I want to have you to be in the place where I can bless you and have the habracha. And so what's the answer? Listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of my Father, my husband, my maker, to do his will. Just tune in to him and say no to the other things that, as far as them controlling me and everything about my life. Doesn't mean those things are doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless me with those things. He will. He wants to in many cases. And so I make me a blessing to others as well. And the blessings, by the way, don't just bless me. When God's blessing reverberates to family and community and to the world. But say yes to the Lord, to the word of his grace. And so I will have, as I listen to his voice and say yes to him, and I will have the blessing. Fruitfulness, but remember, with perseverance, it says. The Greek word is hupomeno. In Luke 8:15, they bring forth fruit with hupomeno, which means literally to remain under. It's to stay under. It's like you stay under that, perseverance, to endure under, to stay under, and you will eventually come out with the blessing. You'll come out of it. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your desire to bless us, Lord, that we want to, as we hear you and listen to you, we want to be good listeners, Lord, to you. Help us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your plan for Israel and for us, for all of us as your people, Lord God. We love you and we bless you. We thank you, God. We want habiracha, Lord. May we bear much fruit through the perseverance in time. We trust you and we thank you. We praise you in the midst of everything for the blessing, which we know is ours. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen v'amen. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the ruler of peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Come up for prayer if you need prayer.